Well, over the past week, obviously it was quite a week because we had the Thanksgiving holidays at the end of the week there in the US. There was a little bit of data came through, and most of it was on the firm side. So we had durable goods orders month of October. And as has been the case with most of the coincident indicators in the US, this is still firm. And this is one of the anomalies we see in several economies at the moment, that we've had lead indicators which have been pointing weaker for quite some time, you know, notably the housing indicators and some of the purchasing managers' reports and these sorts of items. But it's still not there into the coincidence, let alone the lagging indicators. So we've got this bit of a disconnect, and durable goods orders, as I say, up 1% for the last month after being up 0.3%, so that's firm. The final readings, too, for the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey came in on the stronger side. They came in and pushed the final reading for the November Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey from 54.7 in the preliminary to 56.8. So the last third of survey recipients were noticeably more optimistic than the first two-thirds. We also had new home sales out. They rose rather than fell as expected, they rose by 7.5% after being down 11% for the previous month. So when you look at the data that's coming through there in the US, it still leaves work for the Fed to do, even though we've got a lot of excitement about the potential to move towards smaller interest rate hikes. They may not be able to do that immediately, so there may still be a big hike ahead when they meet in December. And B, they've still got a little way to go to get to probably peak rates, which will ensure that inflation comes down to where they want it to come down over the next 2 to 3 years. Regarding that, we've got a fair bit of data coming out this week, but the key ones really are things like the non-farm payrolls and also the personal consumption expenditure deflator numbers. They all come out late in the week, so all coming out on Friday there. And as far as non-farm payrolls are concerned, it still looks pretty firm reading because most of the indicators relating to the labour market in the US have been quite strong. So at this stage, the market expects that there'll be another 200,000 increase in non-farm payrolls. That follows a 261,000 increase going back the month before. That will be sufficient to keep the unemployment rate tracking along at 3.7%. That's still a very low unemployment rate by US standards. And really, the Fed needs to have that unemployment rate lift into the early fours and stay there for a period before it can say with any confidence that that'll be enough to contain inflation over time. And also average hourly earnings, which come out with that, are still going to be reasonably strong. They're going to be up about 0.3%, 4.6% year on year, after being up 0.4%, 4.7% year on year, going back the month before. We'll get the November ISM manufacturing PMI will come out on Friday as well. Now, for the first time, this may drop below 50. So we were down to 50.2. going back to the October reading, the market thinks it'll come down to about 49.8. The 50 mark is the expansion contraction line, and there's a difference between the manufacturing PMI and the non-manufacturing PMI. The non-manufacturing PMI, because people have been spending more money on services, is still holding up there in the mid-50s. The manufacturing PMI, the goods part, is over the peak, coming down and is starting to show some signs of softness. And so at 49.8, you're just marginally into the contraction territory. But over past cycles, you need these PMIs to get down into low to mid-40s and stay there for a few months to be a harbinger of recession. So they've still got a fair way to come down, those ones, before you can say with confidence that recession is ahead. But, of course, when you've got the Fed, which is still having to lift interest rates, the recession risk is high in the US when you look into next year. As far as the PCE deflator is concerned, the private consumption expenditure deflator, this is the preferred measure from the Fed. It was up 6.2% year on year, going back the month before. It might come back to 6, but it really hasn't got much hope of getting down to 2s anytime in the foreseeable future. And that's what's driving Fed policy. Moving to China, there's not a lot in terms of economic information, but the way they're dealing with COVID is causing more and more trouble, including some outright demonstrations in some Chinese cities, most unusual, and some demanding that President Xi stand down. This is almost unprecedented in terms of China. So he's watching with some care. You know, this it looks pretty fluid up there now, and to see how President Xi responds to that. China this week will get some data, and again, it's the manufacturing and services sector PMIs. These are all hovering around the 50, high 40s mark. The Chinese economy is just moving very, very slowly at the moment, and that's what the data tells us in China. This periodic shutdowns of particular cities which have Omicron outbreaks is really crawling Chinese economic growth. And the other part, of course, is that the global slowing in economic activity is certainly affecting Chinese exports and imports. And the other part that's affecting China too is when you've got an economy where basically President Xi is saying that over the next 5 or 10 years, it's not if but when they move into Taiwan. All those companies that have direct investment in China are becoming very, very cagey now. We've heard the stories about Apple pulling their factories out of China. Well, when you look at it, for any company which now has direct investment in factories or whatever in China, there's when you know that there's going to be this huge event at some point, you've got a 25 or 30% chance that your investment in China literally collapses to zero at some point over the next decade. So unsurprisingly, there's no incentive to do foreign direct investment in China now. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. You need to get out before the potential for your investment to disappear to zero. So these are the sorts of things which are really crawling China at the moment and can't change why President Xi holds his current course. In Australia last week, we had nothing of real note. We had the odd speakers coming out talking about things. We appear at the end of the week, the arbitrating senator, if you like, Mr. Pocock, appears to, with some concessions, he's going to lean towards letting the government pass their new industrial relations legislation, which is about lifting wages. And we heard from Phil Lowe, his view is that it's problematic. He got slapped down pretty quick by the government, but you can see that he's getting edgy about the risks that are starting to build for Australia with a different industrial relations system, just at a time when wages are starting to elevate anyway. And across the ditch, the RBNZ continue to lift aggressively. So they hiked by 75 basis points, taking their cash rate up to 4.25%. They weren't the only central bank to do a 75 basis points. The Riksbank in Sweden lifted by 75 basis points. So even though there's a lot of talk about pivot in financial markets and where central banks can go slower, the only one that's even attempting it really is the RBA here. And that's becoming a little bit problematic looking ahead. So just some of these issues, which in a quiet time of year probably won't matter, but there's some risks ahead once you get past the Santa rallies moving into the into the new year. Australia this week, we get a fair bit of data one way or another. We've got things like credit data, home building approvals, housing finance data. The housing data is obviously going to be soft. That's both for home building approvals, which they come out on Wednesday. They're probably going to fall again by 1.3%, the market thinks, after falling 5.8% the month before. We've got home loans, which have been down now for several months, and the value of home loan commitments was down 4.3% month on month going back to, and it's down about 15% year on year after going back to September. That will undoubtedly fall around 3 or 4% again. other interesting readings we get. We get some Q3 readings for construction spending and private capital expenditure. If anything, these will be a little bit better than they were in Q2. So construction spending after falling in Q2 may lift a little bit, probably by about 1%, and a similar story for Q3 private capital expenditure, around 1% lift, and you know, that will make some contribution to the GDP reading that comes out, our Q3 GDP reading, when that's released the first Wednesday in December. We also get the monthly CPI. This is this new series, and is likely to lift again. You know, we haven't quite peaked yet in terms of inflation. It's where, weirdly, we're at odds. You know, we're the one central bank in our country where, you know, we managed to do a couple of quarters and got back to smaller interest rate hikes, but our inflation rate has yet to peak, whereas in the US and Europe, their high inflation rates have peaked, starting to come over the hump and come down, and they're still, you know, so aggressively or reasonably aggressively tightening monetary policy. So some disconnects there, which will be worth watching as time goes on. And just adding to that whole conundrum, we've got October retail sales coming out here, and every indication is that nobody's told Australian consumers that things are getting tough. They're still spending very freely. That's certainly the anecdotal evidence that's coming out from all of the stores who are happy as Larry. And so it looks as if October retail sales lifted another 0.5% month on month. That's after back-to-back 0.6% month on months going back the previous 2 months. This is way too strong. It's a lot of demand pressure feeding or making it much, much harder to get the inflation rate down over time, even as supply-side issues start to dissipate. And then just finally moving to Europe, we've got things, mostly leading indicators came out last week. We had consumer confidence, and that was a little bit better than expected, -23.9. You can't say that's good, but it was better than expectations of -26, and was better than the month before, -27.5. We also had the manufacturing and services sector PMI. You know, European PMIs are below the 50 mark. But the most recent readings, that they're not going down quickly towards the mid-40s. So we had November manufacturing PMI, which was at 46.4 the month before, actually lifted slightly to 47.3. And the services sector PMI held at 48.6. Now, yes, you know, there's an indication there that recession risk is higher in Europe than anywhere else. But some of the factors which are just starting to help Europe a little. They've had, at least for Western Europe, surprisingly mild weather, and the longer forecast for winter is it doesn't now look quite so severe for Western Europe. So yeah, that's obviously a factor when it comes to, you know, the risks that there with energy supply and energy prices. So it's not looking quite as bad as it did. Now, problem is that throws pressure back to the central bank there to continue lifting interest rates, and that was probably part of the story about the Riksbank in Sweden through the course of the week last week, where, you know, they were pretty tough doing another 75 basis points. Now, Europe this week, we get their unemployment rate, we get their preliminary CPI. Preliminary CPI for the month of November, this is where I mentioned that, you know, they're over the hump. It looks like it'll come down to 10.4% year on year. Now, you can't say that's a good inflation rate, but it was 10.6 going back the month before, so just a little bit over the hump. They also get their producer prices, and these have been horrifically high. Now, lending to that point about the pressure coming out of some of the energy prices, producer prices are expected to fall 2.5% month on month. For the month of October. And as a result of that, that will drag down their horrifically high annual rate of producer price inflation from 41.9% year on year to 31.3% year on year. Now, there's still a lot of pipeline inflation, but at the margin, it's, showing, you know, some signs of coming down. Now, you know, obviously, you know, these things can change depending what happens to energy supply in Europe, but and the weather factors which relate to that. But for the time being, it's not as bad as people were fearing. And yeah, that'll be reflected in probably the October unemployment rate too, which is still holding low at 6.6%. So it's yeah, that conundrum going ahead, where you know, central banks still have some work to do ahead of them. And it's worthwhile noting just some of the comments from various central bankers in different parts. And you know, even here, you know, the senior central bankers, and we'll hear some more central bank speeches here through the course of this week. Yeah, they're giving as clear a warning as they can that they can't yet put a top on where they're going to push the cash rate to, even though they're going at only quarters at the moment. In the case of New Zealand, very blunt there last week, where they were saying, well, you're probably going to have to push this cash rate now at 4.25% up to 5.5% at least. We know that we're risking recession. People should prepare for that. We're pushing up interest rates even though we know there's going to be a recession. And it's a similar sort of commentary out of the Fed, where you know, many of them are now admitting that, yes, there will be a recession because we have to get the unemployment rate up to get on top of inflation, but we're still going to keep pushing interest rates up. So it's, yeah, at the moment, markets are just ignoring that. But there's a limit how long they can keep ignoring that.